A blessed Thanksgiving to each one of you. Kathy and I are delighted to be here with you this Sunday. There are innumerable reasons to be thankful on a day like today. It's just amazing to look back and see what God has done. And today we're going to talk a little bit about some of these areas, maybe not the most tangible areas, but I have some ideas of what I want to present this morning to you. So I'm going to start by reading Psalms 100. I'll leave this slide up here. We're going to get to some of this a little bit later, but let's start with Psalms 100. It says here in verse 1, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." What a beautiful psalm of praise and adoration that David here is lifted up to his God. And he expresses in here his reasons to be thankful. There's a relational tenderness expressed in this psalms, expressed by King David, and his thankfulness is centered on the heart and the character of God himself. He focuses on his goodness, his unfailing love, and his faithfulness. That enough right there would be reason for us just to lift our hands in praise unto a God who is so good to us. And we just sang about God's goodness. Well, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I had a hymn that was kind of floating through my mind, a hymn that I grew up with. And I found myself even singing at times. And it was written in the early 1800s. And this is what the first stanza, first verse says. "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the everlasting King." And those words in there, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, just takes me right back into Psalms 100 again as David expresses his delight and joy in a God who's faithful of his unending love and his goodness. My common and usual format or way of expressing thankfulness is focused on things that are tangible. And it could be family, it could be, I'm going to be thankful for the food in a little while. You know, we all will be because it's going to be wonderful. And so that's usually where my mind goes. And if you, like we did last night with our grandchildren there in over in Chelsea, I said to them, okay, tell me a reason you're thankful. And of course, it just focuses in on these tangible areas that we see and experience every day. And that's fine. I'm going to share a little example that happened to myself on September 16th of this year. What's the date today? What's our date today? 13th. So just a little less than a month ago, Kathy and I went for a walk in the park across from our apartment building there in London. And I happened to be showing Kathy some pictures on my phone. And we were sitting on a park bench. And I was looking at this, and it's probably grandkids. That's probably, I don't know what it was. Probably was grandkids we were looking at. That just seems to be where we go. And so I showed her that, closed the phone off, set the phone down, and a few minutes later got up and walked away. What do you think I left behind? Well, we walked for another half hour and before getting home, and that's when you would have heard me saying, "Oh no. Oh no." Well, Kathy was acting a little quicker than I was at that point. She says, "I'll run back across the street. It's really close. It's just over in the park and one of the first benches inside in a beautiful area." And she went back there. And No phone. It wasn't there. And so Kathy had the thought in her mind, too. She had her phone with her, and so she called my number. And on the first ring, it was picked up by somebody, and Kathy's words were, could we please get our phone back? Phone back. Well, the couple that had picked up our phone is a couple that sits there almost every day on that park bench. And they saw the phone, and they decided to take it home with them. And they were looking for a way to make contact with us. And so Kathy's call was that contact with this person. And so eventually Kathy, it took a while. And I can't say that I was all that thankful while my phone was missing. Okay? I can be real honest with you that there was some anxiety and just, you don't want to lose your phone. Let's just leave it at that. You don't want to lose your phone because it's everything almost to us in these days. But the phone came back, and Kathy and I, we took some time and just said, Lord, thank you for helping us at this point. Wasn't a very smart thing of me to do, but you help us when we're not so smart. So it's easy to be thankful and happy when the ending is happy, isn't it? Phone came back. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. It's easy to be thankful. What about a different ending? Not even thinking about the phone, but things that we may have gone through in this past year. What about a loss of a job? What about a financial issue or downturn, whatever, that just really, really made it hard? What about family relationships that aren't what you would really, really like them to be? And I'm carrying a little bit of a weight this morning. Both Kathy and I are, because we're working through a time of grieving for someone in our family that isn't doing well. And so our hearts are heavy. Where do we do with this? Where do we take things like this that aren't such a happy ending? So one of the things that I want to talk about this morning under this topic of thankfulness is this idea of perspective. Perspective. Two things we're going to talk about. One is God's perspective. And the second thing that we're going to talk about, and we'll go into a little bit of a PowerPoint here, is the promises of God. Because actually understanding the promises of God really, really influences and shapes our thinking concerning perspective. But I'm going to talk with perspective at first, this idea of perspective. Oxford Dictionary says that perspective is a particular attitude or way of regarding something. A way of regarding something. What about God's perspective? And here's just to start with is a few verses that will help us bring into greater clarity and focus the perspective that maybe God would, that for sure God would like to have us have. 1 Peter 5:7, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified Bible. Casting all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection. And watches over you very carefully. That's a good verse when you lose your phone. Anything, but it's a good verse. He watches over us. And then I'm going to just flip over into Philippians. We're going to be looking at a few verses this morning, but that's good to do at a time of Thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So a perspective is a way in which we regard something. And when life doesn't go maybe the way it should or way we'd like it to, we need to quickly come back to God. In prayer, in thankfulness, in dependency. Well, I'm going to share just a couple of examples throughout the scriptures here dealing with this idea of perspective. Do you remember the life of Joseph? and he, right near the end of Genesis, in Genesis 50, his brothers are there, and they're thinking that we're in trouble with our brother. Our dad has died, and now it's going to be time for payback. And so they were there before Joseph, and Joseph said in that simple verse, "You meant it for harm, but God intended it for good." That's a perspective. That's a healthy perspective. And whatever we're going through, we can come to grips with some of these things that are happening in our lives with a perspective that's different. Judges 6, verse 13. This is an example of an unhealthy perspective. Judges 6. And it's dealing with the life of Gideon. You know the situation, the background on life of Gideon, where the Midianites were just wreaking havoc with the Israelites at this time. And the Israelites were reduced to starvation, and Gideon finds himself in a bottom of a pit thrashing a little bit of grain that hopefully the Midianites won't take. And God comes to him. God hears the cry of his people, and he comes to them. And then he says in this one verse that is really, really quite different. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And then Gideon says these words. He utters these words that are words that I have found myself saying at times. Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Isn't that something? If he's really with us, why has all this happened? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? Classic response of someone that has an unhealthy perspective concerning the events, the trials, and the difficulties of life. And so God's answer, of course, to Gideon is simply just a few words. And he says, "Gideon, irregardless of how low you view yourself and just how you see yourself, I want you to know something." God's words were, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And then the rest of the story unfolds for Gideon, and he comes into a more healthy perspective of seeing God work on behalf of his people. Philippians 1:12, just in this idea of perspective. Paul's in jail writing this book, and he is facing some real struggles and trials at this time. But he says in Philippians 1:12, he says, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news." That's a perspective. "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message." That's a healthy perspective. When we can look at life and say, "Everything that has happened to me has helped in whatever way," and for Paul to spread the good news. And just a few verses later, he says, "There are some that are really, really opposed to me. There are some that are trying to make life miserable for me, even while I'm in chains, even while I'm in prison. They're trying to just undermine who I am and what God is doing." But he says in verse 18, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. "Whatever their motives are, false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached. Either way, so I rejoice." And he goes on, "So I rejoice." That's a healthy perspective. Well, that's one of the things in life today that I am thankful for, is that God is at work in our hearts by his Spirit to enable us to actually walk through life with a healthy perspective. And we need to depend upon him for that. Second area that I want to bring to just talk about for a while this morning is God's promises. God's promises. And this is a significant area as I've looked at it. And I'm going to take us back into a time frame a time frame that just brings in all of Scripture together. And we're going to look at a few of these promises that God has given to us and see how it can help us in understanding the greater plan of God in giving us His Word and in providing a beautiful Redeemer. This thread that goes through Scripture, from pre-creation to Calvary, the beautiful thread of redemption, and people have expressed it different ways, but I'd like to look at pre-creation just for a moment with you. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20, that are just delightful in this area of looking at God ransoming us, and this idea of ransoming us being in the heart and mind of God before there was anything created, before there was anything. It was in the heart and mind of God. And it says in verse 18 of 1 Peter, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." Well, that goes right back to Adam and Eve and what took place in the garden. "And the ransom he paid was not mere gold and silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began." Isn't that rich? And everything I'm looking at as far as I've been looking at regarding this this thread going through of Scripture, the thread usually starts in Genesis 1. But I prefer to take it back long before there was anything created. And in the heart and the mind of God, He chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, and He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. "Through Christ you have come to trust in God. You have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory." There's a gospel message here, friends, family, church family. There's a clarity of gospel message in these verses that is just so, so rich. And so in eternity past, God was thinking about a solution for a situation that was going to come. And then in Genesis, of course, Genesis 3:15, we're going to jump now into this particular verse of Scripture, Genesis 3:15. I'm going to take us to the next little slide here. Well, that'll get your attention for a while. So we're looking back here at eternity past. And by the way, all these charts that I see and I went into, nobody had eternity past. So I put that in myself. I thought, that's just great. And that's where that 1 Peter verse comes in. Before the world was created, long before that happened, God had the plan of ransoming us in His thinking, in His mind. And then this chart, of course, goes right through until eternity. And I'm not going to be dealing with all these areas here, but I do want to get up to these areas here. So we're going to look at Genesis 3 just for a second. We're looking at these idea of promises and what God has done. So the Genesis 1 and 2, all the great, wonderful stories of creation, and God created man and women in His image to know Him. And then in Genesis 3, we have the fall happening, where both Adam and Eve knowingly took of the fruit, and the result was sin entering the world. But God, in His wonderful plan of that eternity past, that thought of ransoming us, in verse 15, He said, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Promise is given. It's a seed thought there by God that there's a plan being instituted here, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, who is, as we know, is Satan himself. Well, we're moving from eternity past, when these promises, right into the fall of man, And that didn't take God by surprise. It was all part of his eternal plan. And then we move on into this time of Abraham. I want to just talk for a second about the Abrahamic promise. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Start at verse 1. And the Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your father's family and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." A great promise there, friends. A great promise again. That this is the story continuing on of this thread. If we went back to that thread, you would see this thread now starting way back in eternity past, hitting here and now into the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And then it works its way through Scripture, sometimes kind of gone underground, a little bit covertly, but overtly that thread continues, that wonderful thread of redemption, of God ransoming us. And then we come right up into the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But back to Abraham just for a second. God says to him, "Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed to you." And if you jump over to Genesis 15:2, Abraham says this. And it's another example of maybe an unhealthy perspective. He says this, "What good are all your promises, God, when I don't even have a son?" What good are they? Are all your promises? And God's answer, he simply says, in verse 4, he says, "No, your servant will not be your heir." Remember, he's going to take his servant and make him his heir. He says, "No, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." He was saying the lineage of the one who would ransom is going to come through you, Abraham, and you and Sarah are going to have that son. We struggle with perspective of seeing what God is doing. The big picture of his promises will help us understand why we can be secure in the work of Christ himself. I'm just going to read a couple of verses now from the promise to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 37. And you know, this Luke covers the historical side of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name his name Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can this happen? How can I happen? I'm a virgin.' And the angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And I'm going to read verse 38 too. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. See, Mary has a perspective now. There's a perspective that she has had. And she just simply said, "I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you, God. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you." Wasn't a little bit before that Zechariah, he had a little different perspective, and he couldn't see how God would ever do this for him and Elizabeth. And as a result of that, he didn't speak for a while. God was at work in both of these situations. But Mary here expresses a very confident response to the promise of what was coming for her. And then a little bit later in Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds are there, and they that night there were shepherds, and well, this is verse 8 of chapter 2. They were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And then the heavens broke forth with song, and the shepherds went over, and they found that baby lying in a manger. You know, when we look at the verse from 1 Peter and see that in eternity past, God had a plan, a beautiful plan of one who would come, one who would ransom us, one who would redeem us. Knowing everything that's going to happen, that was his eternal plan. Long before the world was created. Then when the fall did happen and we needed this Messiah to come in to the world and save us because the effects of sin were total. And then we move on into throughout the different parts of the Old Testament and right through now into the Gospels, where that promised Messiah is come. The one who would ransom men and women to God is born. The one who would crush the head of Satan is born. The one through whom all the nations on the earth would be blessed is born. Against this backdrop, friends, against this backdrop, and this is kind of where this is all heading up, is of this promises and fulfillment, the text in Hebrews chapter 2 really takes on meaning for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Hebrews chapter 2. We often wonder why God had to become man, why he had to enter into our world. And these verses help us to understand that. Verse 14 says of Hebrews 2, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And we also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world or people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he's able to help us when we are being tested." That's the Savior we have. This is the backdrop for the one who came and the promises that came through. And of course, we got promises going all the way through to eternity coming. And this is the backdrop through which this Redeemer has come. And the one called the Son of God had to take on human flesh. Had to. There's no other way for God to redeem us and God to ransom us from the effects of sin. And in that sense, we have a hope that is just astounding. And what a Savior we have. I'm going to just slip through here. I'm going to go. Is it finished there? Or can I go a little further? I want to show you some things that are happening. This is going on in the world today. This is 2023. The Malilaya people are hearing for the first time. And of course, the teaching missionaries here are doing a skit there on probably the cross or the something to do with the gospel message. They've reached that point in their teaching. And here's a group of people hearing the gospel for the first time. Awa people in Ecuador. 5 believers baptized in April 2021. Kaz people, Papua New Guinea, 34 believers baptized in 2023. Wow. South Asia, foundational Bible lessons being translated into the Hindi language, spoken by 500 to 600 million people. This is going on in the world, and these people are they're hearing the gospel, they're being baptized for the first time in the life of these villages, and it's going on. And the message of a redeeming God and Savior that started before the world began is being told to people, and some of those people for the first time in 2024. Another reason to be thankful today, not only for what we've received, not only for how God helps us with our perspective, and not only for us to rejoice in the promises of God that we've become partakers of and rejoice in today, but for also what God is doing in different parts of this globe. And you know what? In the coming year, there'll be a whole pile more people that are going to hear and be baptized and become your brothers and sisters in Christ. For these things, friends, we are thankful, and we trust that in the days ahead you will continue to find the promises of God helping you with the perspective to what you go through in your lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you for a brief time today to focus on you and what you've done for us. We are thankful that you help us. And you said you would help us. You said you would be there and guide us through all of life's situations. Continue to help us, God, with perspective. We need that so badly. And in light of that, Lord, we thank you for these amazing promises that started in eternity past, fulfilled so richly several thousand years ago at Calvary. And promises yet to be fulfilled that we'll see happen. Maybe not in our lifetime, but coming days, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love, and all this because of Jesus and what you've done. Amen.